Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. How many enjoy the monsoon season? Anybody like the monsoon season? I was asking the team this morning, hey, what do you like about the monsoon season? Rain, the smell, the clouds, lightning, the thunder. My grandkids, man, if it thunders loud enough, we're going inside. Da-da, let's go. Yeah, is there. What don't you like about monsoon season? What's that? Weeds. That's it, man. How many know that all that rain brings all these weeds in? And then, yeah, I mean, man. You know, there's a special place right here. Watch this. No, I'm just kidding. Are you guys hearing it? He's gone. Hallelujah. The weeds. How many know the best thing to do with weeds is get them before they grow up? Is that right? Before they have a chance to grow more seeds? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to talk a little bit about stuff growing in your life. How many know that you got to watch what's growing in your life? Is that right? You got to be careful. You got to be watching yourself, man, because there's some stuff you don't want growing in there. Is that right? Hallelujah. Need to recognize that. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis. Hallelujah. If you brought your Bible, I hope you brought your Bible. Hallelujah. You can use your phone, high techie that you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope this message makes sense to you this morning. I think I finished it at 3:30 this morning. So I had my message all planned out. It was nice. I thought it was nice. I was going to talk about you recognizing who you were. And maybe that might be some of this today. It's important that you recognize who you are in Christ. Is that okay? But it seems like the Lord wanted me to speak in a different way. So I hope it makes sense. A lot of it might be sleepy words. Glory to God, man. It's a little hot right here, man. Is that okay? It's all right. Glory to God. Genesis, did I tell you where? No, I didn't. Hallelujah. That's okay. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Man, I love the Word of God. I was trying to stay quiet last night because Rosie's asleep. And man, some of the stuff that God might have been speaking into my heart, man, well, that He was speaking into my heart, just got me so excited, man. I was getting that. It's hard to contain yourself when you want to go, woo, you know, and then it's in the middle of the night, you're going to go, woo. Sorry, Rose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I hope this is good. And I really sense God wanting to speak to somebody this morning. There are some things that we need to understand about what God has said to us. How important it is to believe what He says to us. How many know it's important? I mean, not just pick and choose but believe everything that's in the Word of God so that God can strengthen you. Do you know that if you believe everything that's in this thing, because I think in Psalm 119 where David wrote, he says, I believe. Can't even think of it now. Just let me. But what? I'm going to read it to you. You guys just stay right there. Because I got it. It says, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. He says, therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right. I love that word. I consider your precepts concerning all things to be right. Whatever God says about it, man, I consider that to be right. And that's my heart. Hallelujah. We were talking about it a little bit yesterday. You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it. that settles it, you know, and like, hey, it doesn't matter you believe it or not. It's settled already in heaven. When God said it, it's settled. It's already true. It doesn't depend on you. That rhymes. It's already true. Don't depend on you. It's true. Is that right? The word of God is good. Hallelujah. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, come on. The word gets even better, doesn't it? Come on, man. I love it, man. So Genesis chapter 22, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for all that you've given, Father, your hand that's been so open towards us, Father. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. We thank you this morning, Father, hallelujah, for your love and your care for us. Lord, that you would send your Son to die for us and that you would, Lord, send your Spirit to help us. We thank you for that, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. How many of you would love to have a God speaks to you something like this? No way. Go sacrifice one of your kids. Are you kidding me? God? Is that you, God? By this time, Abraham was very familiar with God's voice. So Abraham knew that what God was saying to him, it was God. So verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 3 says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Verse 7 says, and Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? How many of you know that's got to be hard on Abraham? Hey, we got wood, we got fire, but Dad, where's the lamb? Oh, boy. It's got to be hard on Dad. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That word Jireh is also translated, the Lord my provider. It's not only in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen, but it's also the Lord my provider. The provision of God will be seen. How many believe that? How many believe that in your own life? Oh man, everybody, I think, let me ask you a question. How many believe that God is a provider of everything in your life? Do you believe that? He is. That's who he is. And he says that I will provide whatever it is you need. Is that cool? That's good. That's a good promise. Is that right? How many know God loads us with promises every day? He loads us up, man. And all you got to do is just believe. Okay, God, I believe you for that. Okay, God, I believe you for that too. I believe you. He told me that my youth is renewed like an eagle. I said, yeah. I mean, you guys are saying, yeah, you need that. I said, yeah, I believe it. I believe that God restores, renews, and he causes us to be stronger than we've ever been. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Praise God, man. Hallelujah. That's God. It's just who he is. But notice what he says, that what Isaac says. He goes, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham says this word to him. He says, God will provide himself a lamb. Don't worry, son. God will provide. But what I like is that word he says, himself. Is that right? That's a good word for us, that God provides. Because later on, we're going to find out that the lamb was the where they would sacrifice a lamb that would they would pour the blood out to cover the sins of the people. And this lamb of God, God sent him to wash our sins away. Let's move to the book of John, if you will. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 19 through 36. I'm going to read this. And this is a record of John. This is John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. Because they were looking. They were wondering. He says, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, well, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? Who are you, man? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said in the prophet Isaiah. And they... And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Arbra, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Is that cool? Behold, the Lamb of God. I said, look, that's the Lamb of God. Look, hey, fella, there he is. Can you imagine that day when John would look at over and look across, maybe see Jesus walking towards them? He goes, look, man. That's the Lamb of God. Oh, man. I was raised in the Catholic Church. You guys know that. And in the Catholic Church, I was an altar boy. And every Sunday, they would pick me up every Sunday morning, and I would go and serve as an altar boy in the Catholic Church. And... Hey, I caught on fire one time in the Catholic Church. I'm just going to tell you this. I was lighting candles. They had these rows of candles. They had high ones and low ones. And the low ones were about, well, being a little guy, they're about right here. And they always told us, they said, hey, whenever you're lighting the candles, always light the top ones first. And then go across, light the bottom ones, genuflect. You know what genuflect is? Yeah, you kind of step in the middle and you honor the cross, and then go on the other side and light the rest of the candles. And that's what I was doing. Well, in my candle lighting process, I looked up, had them all lit except one of the high ones went out. So, and you know, they got these, we call them cassocks. They're like a small priest garb. I guess it's clothing for, and so I looked, so I genuflected, went over to that side, and I was lighting that top one, and my sleeve got into the candle, and I got started on fire. Some guy that was in the audience in the seats, man, ran up and started patting me out. I didn't even realize I was burning. It's kind of crazy. So I can actually say, I can tell you that I was on fire in the Catholic Church, man. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. 8 years old. I don't know. I can't remember how old I was, man. I was on fire. Praise God. But one of the things we used to do every day, there was a part in there where it says, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And you would hit your chest. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And hit my chest. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. I did not know what I was saying. I really didn't. And then when to find out reading the scriptures and right around the first time I was reading, when after I gotten born again, and I saw this where John looked, says, behold, that's the Lamb of God right there. That's him. That's the one that it says he takes away the sins of the world. Ooh, man. When I saw that, man, I got so excited. I know what all of that was about. I know what... Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. I want to talk to you about the sins of the world. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, every sin known to man died with him? Do you know that? Do you know it? I mean, you got to be sure. Not just somebody, you got to know. You got to know that every sin died with him. He wiped the slate of every person on the planet. He wiped them clean. Isn't that crazy? That's a good deal. That is a deal that you can't pass up. But yet there are so many people out there that don't know it, don't understand it, don't get it, that Jesus has wiped their sins away if they would only believe it. Isn't that crazy? If you only believe that Jesus did that for you, the Bible says you'll be saved if you only believe. But yet there are so many thousands, maybe millions of people out there that don't know, don't understand it, don't get it. Huh? Hallelujah. There. I want to look at Isaiah 59 verse 2. This is what the Bible says about sin. So your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that you cannot hear. You see, sin, folks, sin has a tendency of separating you from God. It really does. It will separate you from the God that loves you, from the God that died for you. It's just what it does. Sin is the most deadly thing to man. Do you know that? Sin is the absolute most deadly thing that man experiences. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's crazy that God would send his son, and every one of those sins, while he's on the cross, every one of those sins would be placed upon Jesus. Every one of them. It's crazy. I say, God, what's going on? Why would you do that? Because the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's God's guarantee. If you believe on my son, hallelujah, you'll get everlasting life. You're going to get something out of this. Amen? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2:14. I want you to look at this verse. I'm going to just... When Jesus went to the cross is what it says. He blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You see that? It was the ordinances that was against us. The things that said, you sinned, you sinned, you sinned. He took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Oh, man. I'm starting to get excited. I know it's kind of quiet in here, and that's okay. But I'm starting to get excited because I'm going to tell each and every one of you that when you believed in Jesus, you died on that cross. That handwriting of ordinance that was against you placed you on that cross that evening. Amen. That night, you were on the cross. You were paying. You paid for your sins through Christ. Isn't that crazy? Amen. Whoa, how does this work? It works. Let me tell you, it works. Hallelujah. It does work. I want to read this. this. I want to read this scripture right here in the Passion Version. How many of you guys, I'm starting to find this Passion Version, TPT, the Passion Translation. I really am starting to like it in certain areas, but I still love my King James. Amen? Come on, you guys got to say, yeah, amen. He loves the King James. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. This is Colossians 2:14 in the Passion Translation. This is what it says. He said, he canceled out every legal violation that we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. Is that cool? He erased it all. Is that cool? Come on, man. That's cool. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. I want you to notice that word where it says they cannot be retrieved. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. Cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a, look at this, public display of cancellation. Come on. Man, I tell you, if you don't get excited, I'm getting excited. I got fear. Now I'm getting excited. Yeah. Public display of cancellation. Do you know there was a shame in that cross? Do you guys know there was a shame? The Bible says that Jesus, I'm going to go on and read this in just a minute, but the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, Christ, he endured the cross, and as the Bible says, he despised the shame. Because that cross was a shameful way to die. Do you know that? Yeah. Do you know that? Yes. I mean, you know, you see your pictures, and he was naked on that cross. He was bloody. He was like a murderer, a thief, whatever. He was on that cross. The shame of that cross. It was a shame. Makes me think of Rahab the harlot. You remember Rahab the harlot? Do you remember what color the cord was that she had? What color was her cord? Red. Can I tell you, you guys ever heard of a red light district? Does anybody know what a red light district is? You mean some folks? Can I tell you something? That cord that she had. See, Rahab was a prostitute. You guys know that. She was a prostitute. That red cord she had was what she would tie in her window that would say, I'm open for business. That was her cord. That was what they used in those days to mark, this is the house of the harlot. If she had a friend in there, she would take that cord off. And then, oh man, I don't know how I started going down this road, but anyway, and then when she was open for business, she'd hang that cord up again. Well, see, Joshua had sent two spies to spy out the land, and they went into the city, and they saw that cord, so they said, you know what, that's a place we can go because it doesn't look odd. So they went what's her name again? Rhea. Thank you. They went into her place, and that's where they hid. Isn't that crazy? And she told them, our whole city is shaking because of you guys. I know who you guys are. I know what you're here for. I know you're spying out this land, and all of our people are they're having problems with it. They know you're coming. And they said, shh, shh, hey, don't tell anybody our business. And I'll tell you what we'll do. Any of your family and friends, if you'll get them into your house, when we attack your city, keep them inside. If they go out, we can't guarantee that we're going to help them because we can't tell who they are from anybody. But if you keep them in your house here, inside this house, we will protect you. We will not. We will not let anybody harm you. But this is what you got to do, Rahab. You got to take your cord and you got to hang it in your window on that day that you see us coming. Make sure you hang it. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. Do you realize that her shame, that was her shame hanging in the window. Do you realize that shame became her salvation? That's what the cross did. That shame became our salvation. Do you get it? Do you get it? Hallelujah. That cross. where he took our sins, became our salvation. The shame of that cross. We're going to put a cross on this building. How do you know that? Yeah. Somebody said, no, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, we are. We're Pastor David. We're going to put a cross on this building, aren't we, David? I'm thinking, I want a 360-degree cross. Is there such a thing as that? Where maybe the center of it's lit up, I mean, maybe in a circle or something, so that no matter where you're standing in the city, you see a cross. Is that cool? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I don't know if they even have something like that, but that's what I want. I want a cross that no matter where anybody's at, they're on the freeway, they're right across the street, no matter where you're looking at night, you're going to see a lighted cross. Because that is a symbol of our salvation. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let me read the rest of this part right here. Is this the second part? Yeah. He canceled out every legal violation that we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all. Our sins, our stains, our sane soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross, nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Do you know that he canceled your sins? Do you know that? What I want to talk to you about is just how well he's done that. He's done it so good, we don't realize it. Sometimes when we're having problems and we make a bad decision and we step into something that is contrary to God and we know it, and we'll call it sin. Man, I sinned. God, I sinned. Can I tell you? It's crazy. Some of you might not get this. I mean, you might not believe it, but it's okay. It's nevertheless, it's the truth. You'll go up to God and you say, God, I sinned. He's going to say, what are you talking about? That's not... No. Watch, let me show you something. Chuck, you okay with standing up? Yeah? I want you to stand right about here. This guy is the alpha, okay? I'm going to come on down this other end. The alpha, and I need an omega. Pat, can you be the omega down here? This is the alpha and the omega. What does alpha and omega mean? The beginning and the end, is that right? So there's the beginning. Here's the end, right? It's coming. The end is coming. The end is soon. There he is right there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I need a good strong... Come here, brother. Yeah, you. Come here. Here is... This is, come on, man, am I dragging you or what? Come on, just walk with me, bro. No, this might be tough. This is the cross, okay? The Bible actually says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, even before that guy, Jesus, because the plan was in. God had made the plan to save mankind. This is the place, and if you get tired, you can put them down. I won't hold you to it. This is the place where Jesus died on the cross. Okay. The Word of God says that he died for our sins. Is that correct? So, Brandon, come here, man. So here's Brandon. He's born... What year are you born?
It's 2000.
Cool, good man. Y2K, baby. Yeah, not only that. Here's Brendan, born in 2000, okay? Come here, Howard. Come on, man. You can stand up here. You taking notes? Good man. Praise God. There's 2000. Here's 2026, okay? Have we gotten there yet? No, we haven't even gotten there yet, have we? Here's what you need to realize in the scriptures. This is what God says. He says, I have forgiven your sins. As a matter of fact, let me show you a scripture. And Caleb, you can put your hands down if you want, just for a second. Hallelujah. before I get that. Here's where Christ died on the cross. So what Jesus did, he paid for the sins right here. Is that right? So over here, where Brendan is standing, where he got born, okay? And now he's lived 17 years, and now he's right here. Those sins are still, is that, see, Jesus looked from the cross all the way to Omega, and he paid for them. He paid for every sin. Is that okay? You guys hear me? You understand what I'm telling you? Jesus paid it all. Here's the time was not even come yet, and still the power of what Jesus did is still in operation. Whatever child, whatever person, whatever one of us gets to, what year were you?
27.
To the year 2026, that blood is still paid for every sin. How many know what I'm saying? Do you guys agree with that? Do you understand that? You guys can sit down if you want. Thank you, guys. Alpha and the Omega. That is how far. See, we need to understand how God looks at it. God looks at it, saying, sometimes I'll ask people, well, when were you there at the cross? And they'll say, well, no, I wasn't there, man. Do I look like I'm that old? Yeah, maybe you do. How? But you see, the scriptures tell us that if you believe in Christ, you were there. You died on that cross. He took your sins and he washed them away. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? Oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. You got to know this, folks. You got to know this. You got to get this in your heart. You got to get it. Let me show you some scriptures. Galatians chapter 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You see what it says? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. You were crucified with him. You were. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 12. Check out this one. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. How did he do that? How did he remove those transgressions from us? Jesus died. His blood covered the sins. Boom. Washed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah 31, 34. Look at this one. It says this, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You see that? No more does he remember your sin. Is that a good deal? Man, I'm going to tell you, that's a good deal. God does not remember your sin. He does not remember your sin. He doesn't call you a sinner. Is that right? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says this. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. See what he calls it? Do you see what he calls it? He calls it unrighteousness. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. He says, I don't remember anything like that. Oh, let me tell you, he knows what you're going to do 2 weeks from now if you make that decision, that wrong decision to do it. He knows about it. The fact of the matter, he already paid for it. Is that right? So it actually keeps you in connection with him, because the Bible says that sin separates you from God. It puts something right in between. The Bible says that it's like a wall that goes up between you and God. Out there, there's folks that don't know about things, so they've actually got a wall between them and God because they don't realize what Jesus has done for them. They don't realize it. But all it takes is one of you to go up and say, man, do you just know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that he washed everything away? He made you clean. Hallelujah. Do you know that? Oh, man, can I tell you that folks, we should be telling people about this. We should, man, this should be on our lips. Man, guess what? God loves you, man. He cares about you. He washed your sins away. Glory to God. Check it out. Let me ask you a question. Did God create us to sin? I can't hear you. Did God create us to sin? No, he didn't. Can you live a life without sinning? Come on, think about it. Think about it. Come on. What did I just get through telling you? Look at, you can make mistakes and everything, but God's not going to call it sin anymore. You know why? Because it's a paid, done deal. You can't change that. You cannot change. It doesn't matter if you think about it or not. The word of God is true. God said, I washed them all away. They're done. You got to think about this. Go. I mean, let this sink in. Because there is a mindset out there that won't let people move on in the spirit because they're too busy thinking about how bad they are. And God says, doesn't matter. Just keep going. Just keep walking. You'll find out that I will take care of you. I will wash you. I will keep you. You're good. You just keep doing it. Keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? That mindset is called sin consciousness. It will slow you down and hold you down and keep you back. Do you understand that? Oh, yeah. Do you understand that? As much as I love my little bit of a heritage that I've got out of the Catholic Church, can I tell you that system holds people holds them back from moving forward? Do you know that? I mean, I hope there's nobody in here but let me just say this, that system holds people back. Do you know why? Because they tell you every Saturday, you got to be back here, confess your sins. You got to confess your sins. You got to confess your sins. What is that doing for them? It's not doing it. It's not allowing them to grow in the grace of God. It's not. Amen. Because they've been given a mindset of sin consciousness. And God says, don't be thinking on those things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, I want you to think on these things. Sin consciousness is not one of those things he wants you thinking on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can I tell you, when you make a mistake, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Let me just say this to you. Do not say, well, Henry says we can go do what we want to do. That's not what I said. That is not what I said. If you're doing things that you know is contrary to God, and you're doing it, and you say, you know what? I'm living in the age of grace. I'm living in that. You be careful with that. You be careful with that. You know, because the Holy Spirit has been sent to talk to you about it. A lot of times that's why it comes out, because he's trying to show it to you that he's wanting to work with you on it. Wasn't too long after I got saved, God began to talk to me. You're an angry man. I said, not me. Yeah, you are. No, man, I'm not angry. Yes, you are. You got an anger problem. No, God, I get a little frustrated, but I don't get angry. Man, I mean, I tell you what, I was slamming tools around. I'd throw stuff. God was after it. And every time it happened, God was, hey, you're angry. And I said, no. I'm a little frustrated, God. Is that okay? Can I get frustrated? Anybody ever argue with God? Come on, man. So it wasn't until one day I got so mad at my lawnmower. I was spinning it in circles because this thing, it died on me. It was the middle of monsoon season. I had Bermuda grass about, I don't know, it wasn't that high, but it was high. And I could only cut about that much because the engine would bog down. And it bogged down one too many times, and I got so mad at it, I was spinning in a circle, and I tossed it over the fence. And when it hit, it had the plastic tires on it. Every one of them broke. And I said, good. And I turned around, and my son was pulling a little... It was like a little train thing. He was pulling it this way, but walking backwards. I realized that if I would have gone one more time around, I might have hit him with that thing. And it scared me. And when I got that fear, the Lord said, you've got an anger problem. I said, I got an anger problem. Yes, Lord, you're right. It isn't good. And from then on, he began to deal with me and deal with me and deal with me. You see, when you got something going on, when there's, maybe it's something, you know, maybe, I mean, you're hooked on something. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's drugs. I don't know. I hope there's no drug, but maybe it is. Maybe there's drugs, or maybe it's pornography, maybe whatever it is. And you just can't seem to get away from it. And there's a shame. Do you know there's a shame? But remember, that cross is a symbol of our shame. That he says, hey, come to me. Come to me. I'm not separated from you because my son already paid for it.
That's right.
My son paid for that, but come to me. Let's get it taken care of. He's waking it up in you. He's exposed. You know, just check this out. The word of God says is the heart of man is desperately wicked. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Your heart. My heart. That's what the word of God says. But see, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says only the spirit of man knows what's in the man. And the spirit of God knows what's in the man. And therefore, he begins to speak to the man so that the Holy Spirit can begin to purify the vessel. That's all God's trying to do. He's trying to help you. So whenever you're running into these things, go to him. Say, God, I got an anger problem. God, I look at pornography. God, I'm sorry. I don't know how to get out of it. Can I tell you, when you go to him, he'll help you. That's his promise to you. You see, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. He will provide what you need because he knows you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to strengthen you and build you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has washed your sins away. You're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. Come on. I used to be a guy up at the church I used to go to, and he said, Henry, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You ever heard that? Just an old sinner saved by grace. I said, no, you're not, brother. You are not. You are what God says you are. Let me show you the scripture. Glory to God. I don't know which one it is. It says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Did I give you that one? Word of God says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. It's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. So did God create us to sin? He did not. Did not create us to sin. Sin is a result of the fall. It is when Adam made a decision to go against God, that sin happened. Because if God created us with that he gave us this ability, that he created us with a sin nature, because a lot of people will tell you, on this earth, you're just who you are, man. You got a sin nature going on in you. I said, no, not in Christ. The Bible says you've been given a divine nature, and that cancels the sin nature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Is that what the word of God says? You guys know that. So if some people that say, well, that's just who we are, that's how he created us, he did not create you that way, because if he did, he could not condemn anybody. He could not those that have killed all their life and then passed away, he couldn't give them the proper reward for what they've done, because he created them that way. God never created us to sin. He actually created us to walk in righteousness. Is that right? That's a cool deal. He created you to walk that way. So does God can we live sinless? Yeah. Absolutely you can. He sent his Holy Spirit to help you. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. He's here to walk with you, talk with you. Is that right? Bring you into the things of God. Bring you into the things that he has for you. Check this out. When he was talking to remember the man that was waiting by the pool, but waiting for the angel to stir the water? And when he tried to get up to go in there because he would want to get his healing, he never made it. Somebody always beat him. And Jesus just happened to be standing there. And he watched him, and he asked him, do you want to get healed? He said, absolutely, yeah, I want to get healed. He says, but I don't have anybody to put me in the water when the water begins to move. Jesus said, hey, pick up your bed and walk. And the guy, he received healing, picked up his bed and walked. And they started giving him a hard time. The Pharisees did, because they say, you're not supposed to be carrying your bed. This is a Sabbath day. You can't carry your bed. And he said, well, the guy that healed me told me to carry my bed. So what do you, I don't know what to tell you. I'm carrying my bed. Later on, Jesus goes to that man and he tells him these words. He goes, hey, sin no more. You remember that? He told that man, don't sin anymore. Either Jesus was crazy or Jesus was trying to say something to us. We have an ability to not sin. We just do. It comes through the gift of Christ. Do you realize that? There's another place where a lady was being stoned. Remember that? They were getting ready to stone her. And they said, hey, man, she was Jesus. This lady was caught in the act of adultery. What do you say? Moses' law says that we're to stone her. What do you say? He said, oh, well, those of you that have no sin, because can I tell you what he's using on them? He's using their sin consciousness, because at that time there was no way to have your sin, your conscience cleansed, because Jesus had not yet died, and Jesus knew it. So he goes, okay, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. I love Jesus. Don't you love it? He is so cool. He knows how to win. Is that right? And he dwells in you. And they look at him, and they, one by one, they drop their rock and take off. And what does he tell that lady? Where's your accuser? She goes, there's none. He says, I don't accuse you either. He says, go, and he tells her the same thing. Sin no more. Is he crazy? Doesn't he know that? I mean, folks, there's people will tell you, there is no way that you can live this life. You're going to sin sooner or later, you're going to do it. I'm going to tell you, so I tell him, shut up. Sorry. Tell him, no, man. I appreciate your thoughts, but that is incorrect, because the Word of God tells us different. Jesus, I believe, was telling us something when he said that, go and sin no more. Because, man, we have, for thousands of years, guys, isn't that right? Thousands of years, mankind has lived in what they call sin consciousness. And it gets so habitual to us, we think it's... Can I tell you, when you do something wrong, if your heart convicts you, you're good. You say, Lord, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. If it does, show me, help me, get me out of this, Father. You got that close communication with your Father. You just do. Don't let anybody tell you different. Don't let anybody talk you out of your position of who God has placed you in. Don't let anybody do that to you. Yourself included. You'll talk to yourself. You'll say, oh, man, I'm so dumb, man. I should, man. God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I'm sorry. I've sinned. There was a day I was probably the lowest time in my life. I had taken a group of young people to Bisbee, Arizona. Vacation capital of the world. You guys know that town. It's beautiful, man. I had taken a bunch of students in there, and we did an outreach in Gore Park. It's a little park in Old Bisbee. Played music out in the middle of the park, and Sunday morning we were gonna do a Sunday morning service. Kids were gonna play. I was supposed to preach. The message that I had been given was God, if you don't repent, God's gonna remove the lampstand. And I thought that was a message to the city of Bisbee. But halfway through my message, I realized that the message was to the church, with that pastor. That pastor had worked so hard to help us. He was running hamburgers and running food and water up to the kids while we were out there in the sun, ministering out there. And this pastor, and it seemed funny to me, there was probably about four people that helped from his church. Seemed kind of weird. And then Sunday morning, the place was full. Where all these people come from? Man. But the message was, if you don't repent, I'll remove your candlestick. So when I'm preaching away, And then when I realized that that was the message, that it was intended for the house, not for the people in Bisbee, you know what? We know that, huh? If there's sinners out there, you know, they got to repent. But you know what? God's not holding them to it. God's holding us to go out and speak to them. But for the people of God in the house, I didn't want to say it. When I felt it, I'm halfway through my sermon, and I asked one of the young people from my youth group, I said, come up and sing. Come and sing a song. I got to go back and talk to God. So I'm in the back of the church, and I'm saying, God, I don't want to say that. I don't want to hurt that pastor. I don't want to say it, God. I don't want to say it, Lord. God, don't make me say it, Lord. And I'm sensing the anointing. I'm feeling like, you know, man, I'm there for a purpose. And I said, Lord, I don't want to say it. And then I said this, Lord, I won't say it. Changed my approach. At that minute, I'm, you know how many guys, some of you might not know what I'm talking about. You can sense when the anointing's on you. And at that moment, I felt it just roll out. And I'm, man, it's like, and then I noticed that she was coming in of her song. I go, oh, man, what am I going to do now? God, I cannot preach without you. I can't do that. Didn't sense any anointing coming back on me. So when I got up there, I grabbed the mic and I said, you know what? Thank you for having us this morning. The pastor's going to finish this message. And I gave it to the pastor and I walked off. He looks at me kind of, what? I went outside to get our trailer put onto our van, and I was out there cranking it up, and I'm weeping. I'm saying, God, I sinned. God, I sinned. I didn't obey you, God. I've sinned. And man, I'm going to tell you what, it was a low point in my life. The pastor come out, service ended, the pastor came out, he goes, Henry, what was that all about? And I told him I had, he goes, I told him I couldn't say what God was telling me to say. And then he said, you know what, you need to tell me right now. This pastor got in my face. I said, I want to tell you. You tell me what God said to you. And I said, well, the word is that if your church doesn't repent, he's going to remove the candlestick, and I believe it's you. And he goes, he starts yelling for his wife, Jody! Jody! What I didn't know was about a month and a half, maybe 2 months before that, an evangelist, he had invited an evangelist down and that to speak. And that evangelist walked around the city of Bisbee, and he wrote some things down about the city. And he goes, look at, and I don't remember what number, it's like number 6. He goes, look at, read number 6. He told his wife, bring that note. Bring the note from the evangelist. So she brings it out, and she goes, read number 6. And I look at it, and number 6 said, if this church does not repent, I will remove the candlestick. And you would think that made me feel better, huh? So he's telling me, brother, don't worry about it. That God's been talking to us, man. God's been talking to this church, man. These folks need to repent, need to turn their ways. See, they weren't sinning. They were just weren't doing what God wanted them to do, and they need to turn around from that. Well, that didn't make me feel any better. As a matter of fact, it made me feel worse. I said, man, I couldn't even say what you wanted me to say. Here you had set it up already, and I blew it. So I felt bad. All the way home, I felt bad. Got home, talked to my pastor, prayed for me, didn't do the trick. You know what I'm saying? Just did not do. I mean, I was down and out for the count, man. The next day was Monday morning. I had to go to work, and I told Rosie, and she goes, what's wrong with you? I'm weeping. I don't know. I failed God. Have a big baby, huh? I said, I'm believing. I said, God, I failed God. And I said, I can't even go to work. I just feel useless and worthless. I don't know what it is. So she goes, well, you stay home. She left, and I'm laying in bed kind of weeping. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, read 1 Corinthians 13. I said, oh, it's good to hear your voice. And so I looked it up. And I had been telling the Lord I failed him. And the Word of God said there in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails. I said, oh. And he said, Henry, the reason you wouldn't want to speak to them was because you loved them, and love never fails. He says, I saw. I knew this was going to happen. And he took me to Revelation where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. he said, Henry, from now on, you need to speak what I give you to speak. I said, I will, Lord, I will. I will. See, God has trained me to speak what he tells me to speak. He's trained me that way. It's been rough. But those points, those times in my life were probably the best points, the times that I've ever gone through, because he was training me to do what I'm doing here this morning. And what he's telling me is that some of you think that your position is dependent on how good you feel about yourself. And it's not. Can I tell you that? It's not. Your position with God does not depend on how good you feel about yourself, whether you're good or bad. Your position is concreted in what God says, the eternal word of God that says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus no matter what. You continue to hold on to God and you keep walking that way. Can I tell you something? God's going to take you exactly to where you need to be, but you can't give up. Everything that's contrary to God in your life, you need to look at it and you just say, God, get it out of my life. Get it out of my life. Get it out. Do you know there's a lot of stuff out there, guys? How many know that? How many know there's a lot of things that we do that we know that are contrary to God, that God will be speaking to us about it, but yet we're going to push it off as, I just get frustrated. They deserve for me to talk about them. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know whatever it is. But so we will mess around. Let me just say this to you. I believe that this message is here this morning because God is saying it's time. It's time to look at your life and to walk in a way that God has called you to walk with the Spirit. That come. Watch this. I want to look at this. Getting ready to close. Closing could take a while. It's a matter of self-control. Can I tell you that everything that you do as a body, as a member of the body of Christ, everything that you do, it's a matter of self-control. Do you know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. Is that right? What's it talking about? It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is how you handle yourself. It is how you position yourself, how you look at yourself and place yourself in a position where even something that is close to being contrary to God, here's a line where you back away from the line. I'm not even getting close to that line because I know who I am. Do you hear me? It's self-control. Using the Holy Ghost, to allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you in these times. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit, self-control. I want you to read this. I'm going to read this. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 23, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation because it really brings things out pretty cool, man. So here we go. Is this the whole thing? No? Okay. I said, could it be any clearer? Starts out good, doesn't it? Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. Your former identity is deprived of its power, no power. For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us. Come on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To dismantle the stronghold of sin within us so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Cool, huh? Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. Is that right? Come on. Everybody say obviously. Come on, man. Duh. Yeah, right. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the anointed one, that's what we've been talking about this morning, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. Is that cool? Everything he has for you, the fullness of his life, he's going to get it into your hands. That's cool. Hallelujah. Where am I at? Yeah. And we know that since the anointed one has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death and its power over him is finished. That's another story. Come on. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. Once. How many times?
Once.
Yeah. If you sin tomorrow, is he going to die again for that sin?
No.
Why? He already died. Come on, man. That's it. Once and for all. But he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God. Isn't that cool? For God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One, sin's reign is what? What does that say? Sin's reign is what? Sin's reign is over. Is that right? Folks, oh man, if the body, if we could get this, man, I mean, come on, man. Sin's reign in your life is over. You are free. You're done. You're done to him. Sin is dethroned, is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Do you hear that? Refuse it. Just say no. No, man. You're not using me. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. Yeah. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his what? Noble purpose. Isn't that cool? Woo. Remember this. Sin will not conquer you. Do you hear me? Do you hear that? Sin will not, it cannot conquer you. Why? It's a non-issue. It really is. It cannot conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by the law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Grace frees us to serve God. What are we to do then? Should we sin to our heart's delight? To our heart's content. Sorry. I might need somebody to read this for me. Shall we sin to our heart's content, since there is no law to condemn us anymore? What a terrible thought. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully. Didn't we say that earlier? Make sure you choose carefully. Be careful with this. Choose carefully. For you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. Do you hear that? You can keep doing what you're doing, but guess what? It will rule you. It will make you a servant. Do you hear me? It will do that, because it does have that power to do that unless you yield yourself to God. Hallelujah. Choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master and it will own you, man. And reward you with what? Death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. King James says it this way in that verse. Oh, are we still going? Yeah, oh, good, man. And God is pleased with you. How many say, everybody look at your neighbor and say, God's pleased with you. Look at the person behind you and say, God's pleased with you. That's funny, huh? Everybody's looking back. All right. God's pleased with you. For in the past, you were servants of sin, but now your obedience is heart deep, and your life is being molded by truth through the teaching you are, devoted to. And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. I've used the familiar terms of a servant and a master to compensate for your weakness to understand. For just as you surrendered your bodies and souls to impurity and lawlessness, which only brought more lawlessness into your lives, so now surrender yourselves as servants of righteousness, which brings you deeper into true holiness. For when you were bound as servants to sin, you lived your lives free from any obligation to righteousness. So tell me, what benefit ensued from doing those things that you're now ashamed of? It left you with nothing but a legacy of shame and death. But now, as God's loving servants, you live in joyous freedom from the power of sin. That's cool, man. So consider the benefits you now enjoy. You are brought deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. For sin's meager wages is death. But God's lavish gift is eternal life, found in your union with our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. King James says that wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is the eternal life in Christ Jesus. I tell you that your sins have been washed away. You're a new creature in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? That's who you are. Don't even talk to yourself about how bad you are. Just get it over with. Say, God, forgive me. Help me. And keep moving. Keep moving forward. That thing cannot shut you down. You saw it. It said that you cannot be a slave to sin unless you allow it to be. And I'm praying that God's going to use us in a way that when we understand these things to a full measure of Christ, when God begins to show us who we are in Christ Jesus, that you're going to rejoice, and those around you are going to sense the glory of God that's within you, because it's coming, it's being deposited freely. It's cool, man. Can we stand? Can we stand? Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. You're not a sinner. God, if you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, you're not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If someone's in the house today that has never received Jesus in your heart, then I just say, I'll take this opportunity right now so that we can pray. We can ask God to come into our heart. You can ask God to come in your heart, and He will come in and He'll wash all your sins away. Whoever you are, if you're in the house, we're going to pray. So let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried and you were also resurrected. And you washed my sins away because you died for my sins. My sins killed you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I receive you into my heart. I believe. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you said that prayer this morning, know that God has. No, if you have never said that prayer before, let somebody in the house know. Let somebody talk to somebody. Let them know what has just happened to you, because you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I will tell you, your sins have been washed away, never ever to be what was that word? Rebrought up or whatever, man. I don't know what that word, but never to be brought up again. God will not bring him up. God bless you this morning. Hey, shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, and tell them, hey, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.